All right, ready to record.
So, yeah, I've been grilling, and I have a little Bluetooth speaker, so I listen to music while I grill, and I've been listening to, like, basically just bands that sound like Thin Lizzy.
How often are you, like, do you cook dinner every night on your grill?
I would say 2 to 3 nights a week are grill nights.
Oh, really? See, because I was getting the impression that you were rocking, like, most weeknights, right? Like Monday through Thursday.
Yeah, we have a good rotation.
Okay.
And it's different stuff on the grill. Like one night we'll do steaks, zucchinis, potatoes. Another night we'll do burgers, dogs, and corn on the cob, you know?
Yeah, that's a good way to go.
But I'm like running out of music to play on the speaker while I grill. You know, I don't want to listen to the same thing.
You got
to
get into the deep experimental. You know what I'm talking about?
Like Steely Dan.
Steely Dan. Yeah, that's right.
That's a really... Yeah, I'm going to put on Aja next time I grill. 100%.
That's the wrong idea.
I suggest Pretzel Logic. One, because it's their best album, but two, because it has the word pretzel in it, which is a food.
Hell yeah.
The Royal Scam is their best album.
That's right.
Could you grill a pretzel if you just like put pretzel dough on a grill and cooked it up?
Hell yeah.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I mean, you could put a skillet on a grill.
But you got to grill it right on the fucking... The grate. Right, you know,
get those marks on the pretzel. Yeah,
yeah.
Ooh, yeah, that is a good move. I would get a Dutch oven, so with a cover, like basically a skillet with a cover, and then I would bake it in there, and then for the last finishing touch I would throw it on the grill for the last minute of cooking, so it got those grill marks.
Oh yeah,
you're being cautious. You don't want it to fall into the grill and get lost completely in the
room. No, I mean, I'd make a thick pretzel. Ass pretzel.
Thin Lizzy. Yeah. Thick pretzel. That's right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to listen to like music that's too weird while I'm grilling.
Yeah, you do. You want to listen to the weirdest shit that you can find. You want to just blast Autechre bass boosted out of a quadraphonic setup, just like completely destroying whatever fidelity they put into the songs originally.
I'm just wearing like a Hawaiian shirt and one of those floppy chef hats, and then an apron that says "Kiss the Cook," waving at his like 60-year-old neighbor. But then Autechre's blasting out.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Well, what's happening to that young man?
The neighbor's walking by, and it's like it's just like green grass, white picket fence suburbs. I'm standing in the front yard grilling, wearing my Hawaiian shirt, but I'm blasting Aphex Twin.
Yeah. Or better yet, make your own music. Take a contact mic and tape it to the side of your grill, and while it gets hot and melts, hell, just throw one into the fire and blast it through a 1,000 watt set of amplifiers.
Smoking.
Grill core now that we're talking about? Listen, this is the next step of Grill Pill.
Listen to 100, some amount of Gex, I think.
Yeah, 100 seems like a lot. I don't know, maybe 50 to start off.
Yeah, 100 Gex in this economy?
You know, I was just going to say, I wish I could hear what like Aphex Twin sounds like to a boomer who never listens to weird music, but I think it's actually what 100 Gex sounds like to me. Probably.
I've always felt that when I'm coming up on psychedelics, that's when like music that I know and love and have heard for years sounds like nothing I've ever heard before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever actually listened to music on psychedelics.
Really?
What? How can you not? That's like half of what I end up thinking about.
I always go outside.
I mean, you can listen to music outside.
I know, but I never have.
I'm always like, I don't like going outside until I've been on psychedelics for a few hours. Like, I've got to come up in my house.
I was on my way to, we were going to take a walk in nature, and we were in somebody's car, the rest of us were on acid, and he was playing like some, I think it was like the Jackson 5. But in my mind, I had taken like 2 tabs of acid, so it sounded like the most crazy, like 5 different people were just like singing. Like in my mind, it almost felt like they had auto-tune or something, because like it was so good.
Right, because it's just like, it's like a Gregorian chant of like 5 little teenagers.
Yeah.
Like, no, I know how that feels.
Yeah.
I mean, as that happens to me when I'm just high. Just on weed.
You know what, like, you know what I was meaning to listen to?
Last time I was like
to.
In a bodega, which feels like 100 years ago. I was like smacked out of my mind. And what is that fucking Bruno Mars song?
Oh, 24 Karat Magic.
24 Karat Magic. I was like, this is the most insane shit I've ever heard.
That's the thing. All the Bruno Mars music, like people love to hate on it. And they're like, does Bruno Mars is gay? And the answer is yes. But the thing is, all of those sounds are scientifically designed with an algorithm to make white people turned.
Yeah, it's, why, like, it's like Doritos of music. It's like engineered for decades to be like as addictive and pleasing to like your base, you know, hearing as possible. As yeah. Just like Doritos.
Yeah. It wasn't that. That's What I Like.
Okay.
Yeah, it was like in 10 seconds of Bruno Mars, there's enough vibes to that somebody like 100 years ago would have never heard that many vibes in their entire lifetime.
Right. Marianne Williamson like, is a producer on that song.
Yeah, it's like 10 seconds of Bruno Mars is equal to Beethoven's entire discography.
It's like how we produce like more written words today, like every single day, than we did in 100 years ago. But yeah. Just applied to like the sheer multiplication of vibes.
Yeah. So going back to like a 15th century monk and just being like, here, eat one Doritos Loco chip and listen to 10 seconds of Bruno Mars.
Can you imagine what would happen
scroll through Twitter for
to
10
their
seconds?
Saliva glands?
Yeah.
Like if you went to like a medieval monk and was like, put this in your mouth, they would just like think you poisoned them.
Yeah. Like what's happening? I've been eating like chicken with salt sometimes for the past like 3 months.
Yeah, salt also, if it's Christmas.
The devil in my mouth.
Yeah, imagine seeing like demons or like God because you ate too spicy of a Dorito.
Yeah, you
well, we could perform that experiment. All we have to do is partner up with those logging companies in Brazil that are invading areas of the rainforest where there's indigenous people who have been uncontacted for thousands of years. Because they're going to do it anyway. They're going to wipe those indigenous people out. Yeah. Why not instead give those indigenous people a chance to become taste testers in the Dorito factory?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Remember that fucking Asian Christian guy who like tried to sail to the
yes.
The and he got murked by them? You go there and then you just... you go there and you give them... Monster energy drink and see what happens.
Yeah, that was his problem, was that all he had was a Bible and they could tell from far away. They were like, that's the really boring book. We've gotten like 4 copies of it. It doesn't slap at all. We're just gonna cut to the chase and kill this guy. If he had like some Doritos and Monster Energy like an old Xbox with Halo, like if they saw Halo Man on the cover, they'd be like, wait a minute, I could be that guy. Let's bring this guy in, hear what he has to say.
Let's hear what
it's hard
to
like blame the South Sentinelese because that's where that happened, right? Or was it North Sentinelese? I don't remember. But like imagine something you're like that, living a pretty well uninterrupted life for your entire life and you're all settled in, and all of a sudden there's a church kid in a boat a little ways offshore. Like I would throw shit at that motherfucker too.
Yeah, yeah, especially if it had ever happened before and then it was like a huge like struggle session you had to have with your whole village. It's like, okay, that guy sucked so bad, we should never let anybody come here ever again. And then like you all decide like if anybody ever shows up in one of those boats, immediate.
Well, I think that's kind of what happened when the Italians first came to America. They sucked so much that we invented the Americans that were already here invented new kinds of racism to do to them.
Yeah, only. Columbus.
Yeah, before the Italians showed up, it was like white people solidarity. All the like Protestant like buckle hat pilgrims were all like, if you're white, you're cool with us. If you're indigenous or black, fuck you.
Not
but then
cool.
The Italians
not
so showed cool. up and they're like, they're white, but they're making us want to be racist towards them.
But they're so they're annoying.
What the fuck is gabagool? Bitch, I'll kill you.
Did they speak Italian? Italians?
What do you mean?
Okay, right?
Did they speak Italian?
I think they speak Italian now.
Do Italians speak Italian? This is the kind of analysis you're going to get here on Beef Eat Lettuce.
That's right. Anyway, welcome to Beef
Eat Lettuce. Common misconception, they speak Portuguese.
That's right. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Anyway, This is episode 99. Hello, everyone. Thank you
We're
for joining us.
Edging 100 episodes.
Next, we did 99.5.
Next,
99.6.
Next week will be 99.
Surprise, motherfucker.
Next week will be 99.5.
Yeah, we're subdividing out our episodes a little differently. We don't like to use standard 12 tone tuning. So this is like chromatic, you know, microtonal podcasting.
This is microtonal podcasting.
That's what we're doing.
Right. Yeah, you're listening to the Aphex Twin podcast.
Wow, how did Aphex Twin start playing right now? That's amazing.
That's so weird.
It's pretty crazy. Thank you, Richard D. James, for joining us on this episode.
Yeah, and actually, it's important to note that if you're out there protesting, folks, you just do the Aphex Twin face, and they can't facial recognize you.
That's right.
Oh, you just smile like that.
It's like a much more epic version of the soy face. Much more powerful.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
much darker. It's
the
a
energy
much,
is way off the charts.
Dark,
yeah.
dark soy face. Yeah,
it's imposing.
Yeah.
The dark soy face.
Speaking of something that made me do the dark soy face, you know, a couple months ago we talked about how Elizabeth Warren sucks shit. She is bad because she all her plans were just capitalist realism repackaged with a friendly woke facade, and one of those things was to hashtag green the military by doing the same imperialism that America has always done, but you know, with a green eco-friendly sheen on it, basically eco-fascism. But
yeah,
now
bullets with flower seeds in them.
Exactly.
So that.
Yes, literally that. But now the Senate has apparently, and this is a big win. I'm gonna have to say that we should go home and stop protesting because we finally won, folks. Mm. The Senate the other day just passed a $740 billion defense bill. So this is a budget for defense, right? With a 86 War. To 14 vote in the Senate, like a overwhelming, insane bipartisan majority, to fund the military with almost $1 trillion, which is nothing these days. I mean, Jeff Bezos makes that every time he divorces a wife. The provision that means that we won is they're removing Confederate names off of military bases.
Mm. Wow.
Oh,
finally.
Wow.
Finally. The U.S. military
we've
not
all been
racist.
Waiting for. Yeah, that was the linchpin, everybody. That was the thing that was holding back all of this progress. If they would just rename the bases, racism would go away and capitalism would crumble.
Yeah. Everybody thought George Floyd was saying, I can't breathe. But what he was really saying when that cop had his knee on his neck was, please rename the military bases.
Common misconception. Yeah.
Yeah. This is really inspiring. And I'm happy we are finally getting what we've always wanted. And basically what the whole point of this podcast has been is just to rename military bases.
Yeah. A lot of people will accuse us of being class reductionists, but if we're reductionists to anything, it's renaming military bases. That's the driving force of history.
Yeah, we understand that to be what Marxism is.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Call me a class reductionist, but class reduction is in session, folks, because woke imperialism, woke capitalism, doing the same shitty things that have made our lives miserable and the lives of people in the global south even more miserable and murdered just millions of people over the course of hundreds of years of this shit, but doing it wokely, that's going to be a win from us.
Yeah, doing it in a way where, and this is sort of doublespeak in general, because it's like, I don't know if anyone had ever called for military bases to be changed. It was generally stuff like the BLM protesters had been saying, like, change the names of like libraries and public schools and stuff that normal people, working people have to interact with. No one gives a shit about what you named your death camps. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, we don't want those to exist.
It's the same energy as like the Washington Redskins are now the Washington Black Guys.
We changed it to a different marginalized group that hasn't earned status in the elites yet. It's like going to Germany and being like, hey, welcome. We're on like the German equivalent of the New Jersey Turnpike. And it's like, hey, get off here at the Himmler rest area.
Yeah.
That's the Audubon, right?
This isn't in the notes, but the Washington Redskins did briefly, they have their name temporarily changed to just the Washington football team, which to me is like the funniest of all choices they could have made.
That's like passive aggressive. That's like, I don't even know. Like, you're forced to write an in-class essay, so you just like write your own name over and over again. It's like, are they just implying that there's no name they could possibly use besides the team from Washington or a racial slur? The only two options they have.
Yeah. If you don't want us to be the Redskins, we're going to be the fucking football team, you jerks. It's really like folding your arms and like taking your ball and going home.
I've always said that if you ever need to change your team name because of like, it was racist before, like my high school was the Saugatuck Indians and they were debating whether or not they should change that, and they should have, but they didn't after all. It was weird. But anyway, I submitted that they should call it the Saugatuck Magicians and nobody took me seriously, but I think it would have really taken the heat off from the issue.
The Saugatuck David Blaine.
Oh no. We have to change to a different magician because David Blaine is a
mind freaks.
Yeah.
There you go. Anyone can be a mind freak.
I love being a mind freak.
Yeah, well,
my mind is fucking crazy.
Speaking of doing the same old shit but having a woke facade on it, which is basically there's two strains in the Democratic Party where it's like same shit different day woke facade, and then same shit different day not even woke, but at least it's not Trump.
Right, it's not Trump, though.
Yeah.
That's very important for you to know. It's not Trump, and if you don't like us, you're actually pro-Trump.
But in this case, it's John Kasich, one of Trump's opponents, is being welcomed with open arms into the resistance.
Yeah, John Kasich, the Republican, not a Democrat. Same shit, different party.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're all one party. That's the thing.
Yes.
And whenever they talk about like working with each other, like Joe Biden's whole thing is like, we're going to figure out how to work with the moderate Republicans. It's like, you're basically just admitting that there is like an old order here that maybe Trump is threatening a little bit in some esoteric, you know, ruling class infighting way. And you would prefer to have it all centralized under the same like rules of the game that you've been playing under up till now. And that's all that this is.
If these people can put partisan politics aside to all go, no matter what their party affiliation is, all go to an island together to have sex with children, do you really think that this show that they're putting on in politics is like anything other than kayfabe?
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's all kayfabe, right? Like, it's all scripts. Yeah, so, like, you're the heel this week. Like, write a really insane op-ed.
So this week, Newsweek published an op-ed by Chris D. Jackson, which
I say the Chris community disavows this guy. He's not welcome at the meetings.
He's a commissioner in Tennessee. No one cares. Yeah. He was the Democratic Party chairman for the Young Elected Officials Network.
Democratic Party chairman, famously very progressive guys that have the interests of the constituents of their party in mind.
He's also a member of the Democratic National, the DNC's platform committee chosen by Joe Biden campaign.
Wow. Oh, Jesus.
And
so he's probably a pedophile.
Yes. And this opinion is called, literally this opinion piece is called John Kasich, Welcome to the Resistance. That's which, not like, a joke.
People have been making that joke for years.
Yeah. I thought it was the fucking Onion.
It wouldn't even be like a very good Onion headline because it's like a played out joke to be like, this person who's not liberal at all is like now on our side because he said Trump bad. Like,
right. Yeah.
That's the whole joke. And he's just doing it. To the extent that I thought that maybe there was some chance that this was some sort of humorous title. And I thought maybe we were being hoodwinked.
Sure. It was, like a little tongue-in-cheek. Like, what
little
does it
mean? He's like, actually, you know, and then it wouldn't be like a substantial article, but maybe like a hand-wringing article of like, do we really want Republicans on our side? Mm-hmm. You know,
maybe it's, we like having them on our side, but what does the resistance mean? What are we resisting? Right.
No. It's not that. It's 100% just like, this is great. Welcome to the resistance. I'm dead serious.
John Kasich, based.
John Kasich is based. The last paragraph of this is, more than anything else now, the American people are yearning for a normal president. A normal president.
Oh, more than anything else?
A president Jesus Christ.
Who rent? Healthcare? Food?
A president who won't incite fear or stoke division among our people. A president who won't lie about things big and small. A president who doesn't demonize blah, blah, blah. To do this, we need all hands on deck, including Kasich, Colin Powell.
Colin Powell!
Oh my God.
God damn!
And any other Republican who
anyone
believes...
Anyone who we need who can lie to the government about how to get us into war, we need them to do that again.
How can we murder hundreds of thousands of Iraqi civilians for no reason? Who believes we deserve better than the train wreck we have all witnessed the past 3.5 years. So yeah, this guy is dead serious and a huge bitch.
Well, speaking of things that look like John Kasich, we have a story from the Huffington Post, and it's really just a video from TMZ of a man who entered a sex shop and stole an extremely large dildo that retails for $1,200.
I didn't look at the picture or the video before we got to this point. It's comically large. This dildo is the size of a small child.
Yeah, you could put a tabletop on this dildo and eat dinner off of it.
Yeah, this dildo is almost big enough for your mom to use.
Oh, shit.
Shots fired.
What year is it?
That was
2002, and you're back in middle school.
So stupid that
everything's fine.
It really caught me off guard. It made me laugh.
You guys ever know it? I remember like kids in middle school printing off your mom jokes from the internet and just like reading them to each other.
You go to the Scholastic book fair and there's just a book of your mom jokes.
Yeah. You show up at school to show them to your friends and you have a bunch of MapQuest directions and you're like, oh, I wonder what mom left the house with.
Oh, yeah, this dildo is it's more like a traffic cone. Mm-hmm. It's not really a dildo. It's a sculpture of an erect penis.
Yeah.
it's taller than the guy. It comes up to his waist.
Yeah, there's no utility.
You could do be like one of those Western society accounts with the Greek statues and the avatar, but with this penis.
Yeah, and so marble. In the video, he basically just like walks in, goes directly to it, and then picks it up and leaves.
He knew what he was doing. Honestly,
it seems like maybe a big brain maneuver. I mean, I'm not really sure because I don't know how hard it is to fence a stolen giant dildo. Maybe he was just like, this thing costs over $1,000. And what is like the least likely store to like have, you know, somebody tackle me than like a sex shop where it's probably just like, you know, a girl with a lip piercing working behind the counter and like no security guard.
Calm down. You don't need to attack me.
No. This is the thought process of a thief.
I have to imagine that somebody like specifically asked this guy to steal it for them because I think you can do that. I think there are people who are like, oh, you want something? I'll steal it for you and just charge you like 20% of the price or whatever. $200 for the giant dildo.
I'm just imagining, like, you know how in World War II, like, the Nazis stole a bunch of paintings from the Louvre and, like, other museums, and they had them in, like, secret underground bunkers, and they were, like, worth a fortune, yeah. And then, like, troops discovered them. It's like Trump's federal cops going into cities and stealing, like, the biggest sex toys, dildos that they can find and hiding them in an underground bunker. And then the anarchists and communists after the revolution opening up the bunker, and it's like, finally, the holy grail. We found all of the sex toys.
Somewhere there's just a bunker of comically large sex toys. It just looks like Donkey Kong's banana horde, but with like sex objects.
Yeah, those paintings of the Bolsheviks in the Tsar's palace, but it's just like them looking at like a lineup of Sibians.
Maybe this is just the next step in like misguided things done to trigger the libs, where they're like, well, libs are always bringing dildos to protest, so we should steal their dildos out from under them. Like, some guy's gonna take this home and then live stream himself using this dildo after eating a bunch of Goya products, and he thinks libs are really mad at him for it.
I think what you could do, which would actually be pretty funny, is if you drilled a hole all the way through this dildo, ran some wires, and then you could put a lampshade on top, and then you could have a really funny novelty lamp.
I mean, why not just go with a microphone? Like,
just check out my
check out my SM in there.
Yeah. That's pretty, that works well. I was thinking a microphone for like live streaming, so you just have a huge cock like on an arm down in front of your face. It'd probably obscure the view a little bit, but just like, you know, it'd make, you'd get the people talking in Twitch chat for sure.
When I worked at a sex store, my coworker told me a story that somebody tried to steal a very long double-sided dildo by putting it up their ass and then trying to walk out with it. I don't know if that's true.
That sounds like a Darwin, like one of those Darwin awards where you like find out it was a an urban legend later.
You buy it, you take it. Yeah. As in taking it up your ass.
Yes. Oh, yeah. So I believe they were caught and charged with the price of the dildo and nothing else.
Okay. Like, why not just down your pants? Why up?
That's
your
what
ass?
I said. Exactly. Because they weren't wearing pants, they were wearing some sort of dress, I believe.
Well, why not wear pants the day you're going to steal it? I don't know.
Listen, yeah, be prepared.
In this sort of like, this was a very small southern town. Mm-hmm. So this person might have been drunk and did a weird thing.
Sure.
But you never know. But, you know, people do strange things.
Do you think that's this guy, like, who stole the giant dildo? Like, he's just like, I'm just drunk. It's all right. I got a little too tipsy, and I thought about the giant dildo I saw last week, and I was like, I got to get that motherfucker.
I must have it.
The thing is, I think this is an opportunity to talk about cash bail reform. Because, look, the thing, like, if you steal a giant dildo and are held on an inordinate bond, right, and you're not a threat to society other than you might go and steal another dildo, it's a serious case for bail reform,
right? And that also should start with Ghislaine Maxwell.
Yeah, that's
right.
Who this week had her I think it was this week that she had her arraignment hearing.
I think that was only a week ago, as strange as it seems.
Yeah And obviously they did not they consider her a flight risk. She's being held in a Brooklyn prison, a jail or whatever. But this week, judge unsealed documents about her and Dershowitz. And we haven't seen them yet, but we're apparently going to see them, and we're all very excited.
Yeah, I guess they're delayed for a week for some reason because they're that sensitive, or just because they like the theater of all this.
They probably have to, you know, redact it all.
Yeah.
Shit rules.
This is like kind of off topic, but their choice of photo for this article about Ghislaine is her speaking at the Arctic Circle Forum in Reykjavik, Iceland in 2013. It's like, usually when someone's been arrested for a crime, you know, you post them with their accomplice or them in jail or something, and they're like, yeah, but remember when she was at this Arctic Circle Forum? Like, that was pretty cool. Let's think about the good times. Yeah.
So they're going to apparently unseal these civil court documents, but we haven't seen them yet. They have been postponed to be released by up to 1 week to give Maxwell's lawyers time to file an appeal. But in that time, some of the people that, you know, wrong place, wrong time, will unfortunately be implicated, even though they're entirely innocent, are freaking out. Alan Dershowitz has apparently put an article out, an op-ed, in Newsmax entitled Newsmax. Key Witness in Epstein Case Made Anti-Semitic Claims. Maria Farmer. Is this girl who was essentially pimped out by Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, and is alleged to have been pimped out to Alan Dershowitz, is canceled, folks, because she made anti-Semitic statements in a Netflix documentary.
Also, she went on known fascist podcast, TruAnon.
That's true. Yep.
And so, you know, they are obviously anti-Semitic, so she's canceled just for being on the show.
Yeah, and it's apparently Maria Farmer claimed to have evidence that the Israeli Mossad hired Jeffrey Epstein to videotape prominent American politicians doing pedophilia.
Well, that's so that anti-Semitic Israel, right there.
So that Israel could blackmail them into doing their bidding. And I think that it's another example of anti-Israeli which, as we all know, equates is exactly the same as anti-Semitic bigotry.
That's right.
Correct. Yeah. Yep.
And just, it seems absurd, you know, this, Alan Dershowitz is a man who hasn't seen or touched his penis in 25 years. And we're supposed to believe that he's somehow finding it and using it to commit rape? Come on, yeah. It's absurd.
Yeah. I don't buy it.
It's been lost in a junk drawer somewhere since, you know, 1997.
Everybody has that drawer, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's full of batteries and candles and your penis, where you locked it away so you couldn't possibly have ever raped anyone.
Yeah, he's only ever gotten a massage.
Once you're old and powerful enough, your genitals just turn into a fine dust and you keep them in an urn like cremated ashes.
Mm-hmm. That's the price you pay for getting very rich. Mm-hmm. And that's why he was so mad about not being able to go to Martha's Vineyard, because that's supposed to be the consolation prize for having a lot of money and no penis.
That's right.
And he was like, you can't not let me do that. That's my whole prize.
Wait, I thought have the consolation prize for having a lot of money and no penis was they let you make movies.
Mm.
Only sometimes. Only if you're lucky. Wow. Right now, Alan Dershowitz has 1488 tweets. What's going
on there? Whoa, buddy.
That's not a lot of tweets. He's got to be deleting his tweets.
He's deleting a lot.
To maintain.
Yeah. But he still has the one that's like, I hope Jeffrey Epstein made videos. Like, that seems like the tweet you delete out of
you
any
should
tweet.
Definitely delete that tweet. So Dersh, we wish you all the best. Good luck trying to avoid this fucking arrest that's about to come to you. I hope they arrest Alan Dershowitz.
That'd be so funny. God,
so funny.
Incredibly funny.
Or at least make him testify.
Yeah.
And then watch him try and lie under oath.
Well, speaking of lying to under oath, lying to the American public, the fed cops that are occupying Portland right now, which, you know, because we support Occupy, we have to support them, of course, are apparently picking up their spent munitions because they're using, which, you know, some would consider a war crime. But, you know, I think these folks are unruly mobs. They're outside agitators in Portland that they need to be put down. And they're using the CS gas, tear gas on them. And then picking up these spent shells. So I think that we have to give them practice of the week for recycling.
Oh, yeah. So this is what is happening is Portland is under siege. They are being occupied by the federal government. Federal officers are being you've probably read all over the country, quote unquote, Trump. Which is probably more like the CIA,
mm-hmm.
Or, you know, people within his administration.
The cigarette smoking man.
Yeah, yeah. what is the name of their little organization?
The syndicate.
The syndicate is sending out federal officers, quote unquote officers, just fucking military brats who are just being violent all over the country, but especially in Portland, and sort of started in Portland. And
sorry to interrupt, Brandon. It's so disappointing about the X-Files, because it's like like you want that to be true. It's like it would be so sick if aliens were real and there was like this cool ass, like shadowy, scary cabal of rich people controlling and protecting that information. But in reality,
you like that
cabal exists, but they're just doing pedophilia. There's no aliens.
It's the appeal of like something where if you could just shine light on it, it would fix the problem, right? Like if that situation you described were true, and if everybody knew about it, then we could all do something about it. But the truth is that like 95% of the shit that keeps us oppressed is already pretty much just out in the open. So it's like shining a light on, even with this global pedophilia ring, it's like no matter how long this goes on in the news, it's not necessarily going to bring down a ton of people involved with it. I mean, remember the Panama Papers? People don't even think about those anymore.
I mean, this is a little bit of a rabbit hole, but I do think that that's not exactly true. Like, if you look into, I mean, this is coming from someone who is probably the most conspiracy-minded person on the podcast. But to me, it's like if you like lift any stone on any on most of the conspiracies, you know, JFK, 9/11, you know, like you will find pretty obvious proof of like a shadowy government deep state doing really insane things. It's not that hard to find. And some of the stuff we have absolute concrete evidence on, stuff that I've been talking about since I was in high school, like MK Ultra, Project Bluebird, you know, stuff like this, like that is official. Like that's real. Right.
But that's,
fact.
That's what I'm saying is people know that stuff is official and they still look at like further totally reasonable theories and they're like, oh no, that couldn't be it. Like Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself is a bridge too far for people, even though they know MK Ultra was real and they know about CIA intervention across the globe and they know about brain control experiments on American citizens. They know about all that. It doesn't change their minds.
Well, it's because, well, the point I was getting to is because it's not just shining a light onto it. It's because of the media will not put it in people's faces. Like most people don't know about MK Ultra. Like they don't know it in their heads the way they know about Hillary Clinton's emails. You know what I mean? Like they don't have it on the forefront of their brain because they're not being exposed to it. Because it's not, it's just because their media isn't going to cover it. They're not going to mention it in, you know, they're not going to talk about how, like who, you know, when Elliot Abrams gets up and like talks about stuff or John Bolton, they never mention like, oh, by the way, he also did the Contras and the fucking, you know, Pinochet and like all of this stuff.
Yeah.
Like they never just mention that as a subline because they're not, they don't want you to remember. And there's so much shit in the world that you can't keep it all straight, especially for people who don't really give a shit because they think they're powerless, which by themselves they are, but obviously anyway, all of this to say is that I do think if you shined a light on it and like reflected that and magnified the light to the media and like made it something that was in the public consciousness, then that would actually cause change. People would actually recognize that and rise up like we're seeing now. And same like with George Floyd, there's these things that happen where people are like, this isn't right. Everyone is at, it's at the tip of everybody's mind. And everyone sort of like kind of comes together and is like, this has to change.
Yeah. Well, that took like a long time to even get to that point of like exposure and like repetition and drilling into people's heads.
And also the material conditions of, you know, unemployment being 50% and there being a global pandemic.
And it keeps getting worse though, because each time there's like a something like this, the new tactics that the right authoritarians are using, they get more normalized. So now you have federal troops in Portland occupying these cities and the president threatening to send them into more cities that are having uprisings. Notably, you know, we're not fans of the Democratic Party on this pod, but he has threatened specifically Democrat mayors of cities that are Democrats. So like I said, we're not fans of the Democratic Party on this pod by any means, but the idea that a leader of a country is going to attack his political opponents by sending federal troops in, that's insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's insane. And it was just reported this morning that the mayor of Chicago was like, we're never going to have the federal troops. And then apparently Trump called her and was like, yeah, we're going to. And she was like, okay.
Oh my God. Of course.
It was reported in Yahoo News.
He hit her with that hotline bling.
Yeah. The deals boy strikes again. Yeah. But yeah. So they are, we came across this tweet thread where there's video of the completely unnamed Gestapo, who is and it's funny because it's like it's gotten to a point where it's like ICE has always been the Gestapo. There's always been a Gestapo, but it's like it's hard to make people understand like it's always been this bad, but it's also really worse. Like,
right. Well, it was always this bad if you were a Mexican who was an illegal immigrant
exactly
in America, and now it's like, well, also if you side with immigrants and black people. And it was also always in some ways this bad if you were black. It's like,
yeah,
no one really cares if it's like the car is marked when the cops like kidnap you and disappear you.
Yeah, especially if you're dead.
Yeah.
Like, but anyway, these federal officers are picking up their shells, which is really strange. It kind of implies that they're using munitions that they're not allowed to be using or might get in trouble for using.
It's either that or it could be some, it could, let's be real, be something more innocuous, like they just don't want people to pick them up and realize what manufacturers are supplying them, and for that to lead to people questioning the supply chain and budgets and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, I mean, in any case, yeah, it's still just like, we don't want people knowing how deeply woven all of this shit is into society and how normalized it is that we would just shoot, you know, some kind of round at our own fucking civilians.
Right. But that's still like that order would have had to come from pretty high up. You know, someone who's like, well, wait a minute, we can use these, but don't let the fucking shells, you know, like someone had to make that decision. Like the fucking grunt on the ground doesn't give a shit if like they figure out his captain is connected to Mossad or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that it's weird that somebody is thinking about the optics of this that clearly.
Well, it has kind of the feeling of like a fairly incompetent district manager's orders, right? Like if like a Starbucks district manager was in charge of these police, they might be like, yeah, go ahead and fire some live rounds. Just make sure you pick up any casings, you know?
Yeah. the Starbucks manager is like, all right, we're out of coffee. We got to use Dunkin' Donuts. So just make sure you throw away the bags that say Dunkin' so we have plausible deniability, even though the coffee will taste very different and bad. And everyone will get mad at us.
Yeah. Do you remember that just like last week there was a some sort of smoke bomb or whatever that looked like the Off-White, like Virgil Abloh's Off-White, like had like parenthesis on it?
Oh, vaguely. Yeah. Just like the branding, you mean?
It was like a black thing. It was like a black bomb, like a grenade. And then it said like munitions, but in Helvetica was like, I don't know where that thing came from, but I still really want to know. If anybody knows what that is, let me know.
The U.S. Department of Defense has begun contracting out to Supreme and other beast brands.
Yeah, that, I mean, honestly, that absolutely fucking rules. It's like like the Nazis collaborated with Hugo Boss to do their uniforms, and now like the Trump administration is going to contract out to fucking like
Yeezy,
Virgil Abloh, and you know, Supreme to do uniforms for their paramilitaries.
I've always said fashion is basically fascist. Like, fascists always show an inordinate amount of interest in it, and people who get really, really involved in the industry end up doing incredibly fascist things. Like, I don't think it's fascist to want to look nice, but the fashion industry is one of the most fascist industries on the planet.
No, I think you're absolutely right, John, because when girls tell me not to wear cargo shorts, that's fascist.
That's fascism right there.
Yeah. I wonder if this is why Kanye West has been, like, having a meltdown lately. He's been, like, the government is trying to mind control him with a huge dose of LSD. So he goes crazy and he's already kind of going into like weird Christian, you know, kind of right wing theology. So he just has to go all the way. And then he's making really comfy Yeezy military boots for the army. And then I don't know what the end goal is. Maybe just they want to be comfy and this is how they do it. They're like, I want all our feet to be comfy. So I think the most direct way is to brainwash a rapper turned shoe designer and get him on our side.
Right, but it does. I think, John, you're right in that the industry, the fashion industry, is like basically impossible to be done ethically, unless you are incredibly scrappy. There was like knowing a little bit about the fashion industry, I will say that there are a couple people who are able to sort of like circumnavigate that, and like even then they're not doing as good of a job. Possibly, but like the vast majority of people are just like, you have to completely accept and embrace the idea that like you're just using slave labor. And like, that's, I think, really fucks with people's heads. You can't like stay unpolitical when you're just like so close to the supply chain of like imperialism. And they basically all turn into right wingers if they weren't already.
Yeah.
Well, and then it also takes a lot of money to get into fascism. So you probably already have a class interest to be pretty right wing in the first place.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're all pedophiles. And so this week, or I guess this week, The New York Times published an opinion piece called "Trump's Occupation of American Cities Has Begun," which so the article, we don't have to read it all, but the lead is protesters are being snatched from the streets without warrants. Can we call it fascism yet? by Michelle Goldberg. And the answer is, like, I've been calling it fascism since 2016.
Yeah. It's been fascism since before I knew what the word fascism was. Like,
yeah, I mean, I guess to be fair, I've been calling it fascism when I thought that fascism was simply just corporations being a part of the government, which is a definition I heard when I was in, like, late high school. And I was like, well, that's our government.
Yeah.
You're like, so wait, I guess we're fascist.
I guess I don't like state communism anymore.
Well, there's no corporations a part of it's a private company owning the government.
Interesting that you think that you can make a distinction like that.
I do.
to excuse red fascism.
Anyway, the point is
kidding.
The point is that this article is sort of, I think one of the things I wanted to talk about with this is that there's this gonna be a sense that we can place all of this fascist reaction. And there's a very funny video in the middle of it called "If You're Not Scared About Fascism in the U.S., You Should Be," where it has, I think, Keskow and Hitler and Mussolini and I think Assad.
And Erdogan. I think it's Erdogan.
Yeah, Erdogan. And then Trump.
They're the bust on Mount Rushmore, and they're just a bunch of stone faces.
Yeah, and then it's just
Why
like
not
Trump.
Have, like, Andrew Jackson. It's supposed to be about the U.S., right? Like,
yeah, no, but they're just trying to show you what fascists look like.
No, this is the A team. These are the major. These are the guys, the boys.
They don't have Mussolini.
So there's gonna be
on the left there.
There's gonna be a push to put all of this squarely on a single person, namely Trump.
Yeah,
as this is a deviation from the norm.
Also, this is like the inverse of great man of history theory. This is like Cheeto man of history theory.
Yeah, it's
exactly.
It's
going to become the new guy where it's like, would you have killed baby Trump?
No, that's a really good point, Bryn, because this has been going. I mean, Hitler was inspired by how Americans treated their indigenous people, black people. Fascism is like an Ouroboros where every time it rears its head, they're taking inspiration from other fascist regimes the last time it happened, where like Trump is not the cause of fascism in the United States. Trump is just the conduit through which it flows. Fascism is a response to the decay of in our case, this current neoliberal moment, but in past cases, fascism has been a response to the economic and material conditions of that time, where there are forces vying for the people's populist support. And if forces on the right-wing authoritarians can manage to murder enough communists, then that's typically how they take over. So in this case, Trump being, democratically elected questionably, because,
quote unquote.
Liberals have been saying, that he lost the popular vote for 4 years, which is true. Now using these troops to put down insurrection in multiple cities across the country, that kind of crackdown, and whether it's successful and not challenged in any major way by Democrats, progressives in the legislature, that's the bellwether for if he can continue to do that in an even bigger way to retain power come November in an anti-democratic way.
Right. I mean, this is so it's just like the article goes into like that these federal agents are like a border patrol group, DHS, ICE sort of run. No one's clear exactly where they're coming from, but Obama was one of the big people to expand the Border Patrol, the Department of Homeland Security, and ICE, mm-hmm. and deport more people than any president had ever.
Yeah, ICE is like pretty new.
Let me be clear. Sieg Heil.
Yeah. and George W. Bush obviously created ICE. Mm-hmm. And so, like, there's nothing, it's absurd. Because this article, I saw a lot of sort of more left-leaning libs or mm-hmm. whatever, my friends, people who generally tried to have good takes. This is not a bad article. This isn't like an absurd article where we would laugh at it normally. This is a pretty, like, very much sort of hand-wringing, sort of giving a little wink to the left, right? Saying like, yes, okay, we're finally admitting that this mm-hmm. is fascism and we should actually take this seriously. But the problem with it is that you can't look, if you look at this through the perspective of this is something that was not just coming, you know, because like Todd said, like fascism is the only reason this is happening is because in the 80s and 90s, the social order was controlled, right? Like everyone was accepting of it to a certain extent. And the people who were not accepting of it, who would, you know, be the would-be backlashers, protesters, were being oppressed actively in enough of a way so that they had no power.
Mm-hmm. And even now, and into the 2000s, it evolved into like a culture thing where at the end of the day, even though there was like superficial resistance to the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan yep. and the Bush administration, the by and large public and through the culture, they were basically in lockstep with American imperialism then too.
100%.
It just took more of a culture aspect.
Yeah. And it just recently, you know, we saw that video this week of something there was Michael Moore was trending recently and people were posting that video of him saying Bush sucks and the war is bad and then getting booed at the Academy Awards.
Yeah, a bunch like, of fucking like liberal like limp dick actors are like, boo, we love war.
Yeah, and yeah. it's so
awesome. And anytime Michael Moore goes on MSNBC, just the absolute worst people come out of the woodwork to be like, he's fat and stupid, and then it's like it's like the horse whisperer who is a literal like it works in insurance and is a consultant for like just abhorrent
defense contractor
abuses oil companies
of
something?
Human rights.
Yeah.
And like those are the kinds of people who are saying like, oh, Michael Moore is a Trump Democrat, you know, he wants Trump. And it's like,
Jesus.
If that's your enemy and that video of, I mean, like somebody who's been right, like, a significant number of times, like even just predicting that Trump was going to win the Midwest, it's like that should clue you in to who the real dipshits are here.
Right. And so this is just like, it's a complete, Americans have the memory of a goldfish, right? Like in 2004, you couldn't be anti-Bush. Like it was edgy to be even say anything against the president to everyone. Like yeah. everyone's looked at you like you were crazy for suggesting that the fucking president was an asshole.
Do you want the terrorists to win?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, I and do. So, I really wish the terrorists had won.
I would love the terrorists to win.
It wasn't that edgy well, where I lived, have. But I lived in like a very liberal college
yeah,
town. Right. So
yeah, well, what if the real terrorists work for the government? Whoa, just blew your mind there.
So I'm just saying it's really important to look at this historically and to understand that the fascism that we're seeing now only is happening because the culture has turned enough against what has always been the status quo so that they don't need, because they used to just only need the NYPD. You know, they mm-hmm. could just fire hose everybody in Occupy and just be like, all right, go home.
Yeah.
And but now it's sort of a nationwide thing because of, again, the material conditions of 50% of people not having jobs and a pandemic that people are not being helped with. And so Obama would have done the same shit is what I'm saying. Like it would have been dressed up nicer and they would have been a much more effective campaign against the protesters.
Uh-huh. He also could have done it in like a sneakier way where he could just like say the right like West Wing sound bites to people and get enough liberals to be like, oh, he's on our side and like go home.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. Like Trump is just like at war with Democrats and thinks that they're all communists. So like he doesn't want to like make nice with them. But Obama would like think he could, you know, convince people he's on their side. He might even think he is on their side. I don't really know how, you know, centrists think exactly.
I mean, not, that's not what Obama's been saying. But anyway, yeah. My point is that you have to be careful of this kind of article, because it you cannot look at this and just say, well, once Trump is gone, because that's the takeaway liberals have, right? It's like, yeah. Well, we have to get out and vote in Biden in November.
Yeah.
And like, that's not enough, because he won't change anything.
Right. Nobody is like, we have to vote in Biden so he can abolish ICE and make sure that no one can ever become elected who's a fascist again and then have access to a bunch of shock troops.
Yeah.
It's just like, vote in Biden so he can be nicer to people of color or something.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know about that. Look, the thing with Joe Biden is when he gets in, instead of protesters being thrown into unmarked rented vans by paramilitary troops, the vehicles that they're going to be tossed into are going to be green and autonomous.
Hell yeah.
And they're going to have a ripoff of the BP logo on them.
Yeah, John, that's right.
Can you tell me what this article is and why they've stolen our logo?
Well, I'm really proud to announce that BP Lettuce, the podcast, has branched out into the public transportation sector. We're finally doing some real praxis with our money. Now, it looks like some designers in Florida working for some kind of automated van service have decided that our logo looks really, really good and is a great way to stylize the word beep. And so they changed it around a little bit. Somebody in the Facebook group said it looks like it was crossed with the Bang energy drink logo. I think that's about right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and, totally.
So I think we're going to have to issue a retraction on everything that we've said about the coup in Bolivia and the resource grab by fascists to steal their lithium resources in order to build electric car batteries. Now that we are... now that we have a ownership share of ownership in this company, which I presume will, our shares will, you know, be deposited into our accounts once they realize that they've created a snafu with this logo.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And another thing I think the creators of this don't realize is that when you put beep on the side of a vehicle, it means that you're automatically allowed to smoke weed in there. So if you're in or near Florida, get on these automated buses and just hotbox the living shit out of them.
There's no drivers. They can't. There's nobody to tell you you can't.
Yeah, who's going to stop you?
They're autonomous vehicles.
They'll be subject to fines if they're not hotboxing it themselves and playing back episodes of our podcast over the bus announcements.
Yeah, just playing episode 9.
You know what rules so fucking much about these buses and like autonomous shit in general, and the new Amazon robots that are like little toy cars that have like a little compartment inside that delivers your package? Like, autonomous is a misnomer. These things aren't just running automatically. There's people in some call center environment somewhere staring at computer screens and monitoring these vehicles contracted out internationally to low-wage workers abroad that have to monitor these vehicles, and in some cases they're not autonomous at all, and they're just being driven remotely to save money.
Yeah, so
and that,
my question,
I'm sure, is going to be the case with these beep buses.
So my question is, where can I sign up for the video game beta pre-release where I am on my computer driving autonomous buses around cities in Florida?
Because, well, you joke, but this lends credence to my theory that all those simulators, like truck driver simulator, bus driver simulator, Midtown Madness, classic game.
I love
game.
Midtown love Madness.
It. That,
fuck
it, was,
yeah.
it was a really good game.
That announcer's thick Chicago accent. Tasty.
Those are all psyops to get us used to driving vehicles remotely under the guise of autonomy.
That's right. Driver 3, more like MK Ultra 2.
But anyway, we'll put a link to the picture of this beep bus and how they've ripped off our logo in the comments. Maybe we'll make the episode artwork.
And
or
by
something
the way,
like
a lot of people have been mentioning, oh, your logo is just the sleep logo. No, it clearly says beep. Okay, get your
That's
head out
correct.
Of your ass.
That is absolutely correct.
It's just different letters.
Yeah. And speaking of removing our autonomy, apparently Twitter, through confirmation by Jack Dorsey at Jack, is exploring a subscription model for Twitter. We don't know exactly what this is going to mean, but it's entirely possible that come a couple months from now, a year from now, you're going to have to pay to yell at the worst people in the world online.
Yeah, I can't wait for my Bird app to make me watch an ad every 30 seconds so that I can accrue enough premium tokens to access the premium content on the site. Just like moms getting their fucking credit card bill and they're like, Timmy, did you spend $14,000 on Twitter DLC?
Yeah. It's just, but it's not even like pay to win. It's just custom skins for the interface.
Yeah. They added a, instead of just night mode and day mode, now there's like twilight mode and rainy mode, and they all cost $99 fucking dollars.
Yeah, but realistically, Twitter increasingly views itself as a news source for millions of people. So what I think this is going to be is, I'm just predicting here, more integration between news outlets and Twitter, and just it's more of an effort to turn the internet into a cable news service where everything you see is tightly controlled, everything you can access. And in order to get access to anything outside of this tightly controlled lane that you're allowed to view, you have to pay extra money, or in probably many cases, won't be able to even view anything outside of the official narrative at all.
Well, this is really lovely, I gotta say, because I can finally cancel all of my different subscriptions to the Washington Post and the New York Times, because, you know, why deal with a bunch of individual paywalls when you can just pay all your paywalls in one place on the Bird app? It's not dystopian at all.
Yeah. In reality, this is happening because Twitter is a for-profit company. They need to figure out how to profit as much as they can off of your anger online, the time that you spend just being absolutely butt mad because somebody posted a take that's like, Anthony Bourdain is an imperialist. I saw that one this week. Just being out, just fucking steaming mad because somebody is either that stupid or they're just trying to make you angry. And you're now going to have to pay to access that shit, or that shit is, you're going to pay to have to not have to see that.
Yeah.
Well, on that note of corporations increasingly wanting to control exactly what you can and can't access on the web, I want to say that you'll always be able to access Beep Beep through our RSS feed, through anywhere you get your podcasts, unless they do that one too. And if you want to hear more, you can check out the Patreon episodes. Hang out with us in Beep Beep Mids posting. Listen to John's other podcast, Work Stoppage. We appear to have lost Chris and Bryn because apparently their basement is flooding. But this has been a fun episode, a dystopic episode. But there is hope. There's light at the end of the tunnel.
There is a light at the end of the tunnel, everybody. And as you get closer, you will realize that it is actually a lighter lighting the stem of a bong.
That's correct. This has been Beep Beep. Thank you all for watching so much. Like us on all the pages or whatever. And check out Bryn's other podcast about movies called Generation Loss. It looks like Bryn and Chris are back. How's your flooding?
We're here.
It's fine. Apparently. Everything is fine.
That may, see, your t-shirt that says everything is fine apparently with the flooding has me thinking that maybe perhaps the opposite may be true.
Why are you telling us about that? No one cares about that. We're signing off. Okay, thank you so much for listening to BB Lettuce. Follow us on all the places. It's been really nice to talk to you. Thank you for listening.
I already said all the stuff.
Will be back next week with our 100th episode.
Oh yeah.
All right, beep on, y'all.
Keep smoking bombs.
Bye.
Jailbreak somewhere in this town. See, me and the boys, we don't like it, so we're getting up and going down. Hide and low, looking right to left. If you see us coming, I think it's best to move away. Do you hear what I say from under my breath? Tonight is gonna be a jailbreak. So won't you be around? Don't you be around? there'll be trouble. Some of us won't survive. See, the boys and me mean business, busting out dead or alive. I can hear the hound dogs on my trail. All hell breaks loose, alarm and sirens wail. Like the game, if you lose, go to jail. Tonight there's gonna be a jailbreak somewhere in the town. Tonight there's gonna be a jailbreak. Systems fail. Hey, you!